It is time again for another week of the Warren County Radio Bible School. And as we begin our studies this day, we're kind of reaching a milestone. This is class session 700. That means I've been teaching this class for 700 class periods. That's 700 15-minute lessons that we've had, and we've covered so much in these lessons. It is so interesting to study the Bible in this way. And you can come and tune in on the radio just like you did when maybe you were a child and you went to Sunday school. You know, this is the kind of Sunday school lesson that your grandparents probably studied, because we're looking at Sunday school notes that were prepared for the Sunday schools of December the 7th, 1924 by E.A. Elam. And the current lesson we're on is from John chapter 9, about the time that Jesus healed a man and gave sight to a man that was born blind. And we want to return to that lesson. But before we do, this is the time for our special feature. And for the special feature, we read from the Rockcliffe Review. Now, this is the bulletin that we pass out to those that attend the worship service on Sunday morning at the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. And this bulletin has in it usually a synopsis or a note you can take home about the sermon that's going to be preached that morning. One of the things we're doing at Rockcliffe is preaching through the book of Isaiah. And we have come to Isaiah chapters 30 and 31. And that's what this lesson is about. It's in the midst of Isaiah's book of woes. And it's called, as it begins, Woe to the Rebellious Children. Let me read this to you from the Rockcliffe Review. Consider Isaiah chapters 30 and 31. Assyria was on the rise. The Assyrian army would compass Jerusalem. But through his prophet, God promised the inhabitants of Jerusalem that they would be spared. Assyria shall be beaten down, Isaiah 30 and verse 31. For thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion, and for the hill thereof, as birds flying. So will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it, and passing over it, he will preserve it. Isaiah 31, verses 4 and 5. Then shall the Assyrians fall with the sword, not of a mighty man in the sword, not of a mean man shall devour him, but he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomforted. Isaiah 31 and verse 8. The inhabitants of Jerusalem were to trust God and stay put. Isaiah 37 says their strength is to sit still. Isaiah 30 and verse 15 says, For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, In returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. However, the rest of the verse says, And ye would not. They heard the prophet, but they took counsel among themselves. Some of them decided the best thing for them to do was to flee to Egypt. Hence we read, Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. Isaiah 30, verses 1 through 3. In Isaiah 30, verses 9 through 11, we read, This is a rebellious people. lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us, Isaiah 39-11. And then, Isaiah 31 and verse 1, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses, and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they're very strong. But they look not into the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. As I read these words in Isaiah, I remember the familiar passage of Proverbs 3:5-7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. When God has spoken, it is rebellious to seek counsel of ourselves and to go our own way. The last verses of Isaiah 30 and Isaiah 31 are interesting for what they say about Tophet. Tophet was a furnace in the valley of Hinnom. We read about that in 2 Kings 23:10 and Jeremiah 7:31-33 and Jeremiah 19 in verse 6. Tophet would be remembered is a place of human sacrifice. But in these chapters, Tophet is the place prepared for the fiery consumption of the corpses of the princes of Assyria. Here it is in Isaiah 30 and verse 33. For Tophet is ordained of old, yea, for the king it is prepared. He hath made it deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it. And again, Isaiah 31:9, and he shall pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, and his furnace in Jerusalem. The Old Testament valley of Hinnom is the Gehenna of the New Testament. When Jesus spoke of Gehenna, he was not speaking of the literal valley, but of the place of everlasting punishment where the fire shall never be quenched, Matthew 25:46 and Mark 9:43. In our English translations, Gehenna is translated hell. As Tophet was prepared for the Assyrian princes, so also the everlasting fires prepared for the devil and his angels. In the day of God's wrath, the Son of Man will say to those on his left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:41. In these last days, God has spoken to us through his Son, Hebrews 1:1-2. We will not escape if we take counsel of others and go our own way. Woe to the rebellious children. Now that was the reading that morning from the Rockcliffe Review. And I read from the Rockcliffe Review because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now let's return to this Sunday school lesson about the man that was born blind that Jesus healed. We're reading in Elam's notes. Now these are the Sunday school notes prepared for the Sunday schools of December 7th, 1924. That opening the eyes of this blind man occurred during the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall before Jesus was crucified. Other blind eyes had been opened. Besides the opening of the eyes of the blind man of this lesson, Jesus opened the eyes of many others. Two at Capernaum, Matthew 9:27-31, another at Capernaum, Matthew 12:22-23, one at Bethsaida, Mark 8:22-26, two at Jericho, Matthew 20, Mark 10, and Luke 18, and others, we know not how many. Blindness was common in that country. It is stated upon authority of those who have visited that country and have investigated the matter that in Egypt, one in every 100 is blind, while in this country there's only one in 1,900, and that Palestine is next to Egypt in this respect. It is said to be due to the glare of the tropic suns and burning sands, and sometimes to the lack of cleanliness. But not so many are born blind. No more are born blind there than in any other country. Here's the cause of suffering. The cause of human suffering should be studied and understood as far as possible. In John 8:59, we read the Jews took up stones to cast at Jesus for declarations which seemed to them blasphemy, and he hid himself and went out of the temple. And verse 1 says that as he passed by, he saw this blind man, not casually, but he looked upon him with pity and sympathy. Human suffering and helplessness always aroused his compassion. We read in John 9:8 that the man was a beggar. He was in a hopeless and helpless condition. But to be spiritually blind is worse and is more hopeless. Jesus said in Matthew 13:15-16, beginning quoting from Isaiah, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should turn again, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." While Jesus looked in sympathy upon this human sufferer, his disciples asked the question of verse 2, a troubling question, not to Jesus, but to men. They did not stop to consider that it was impossible for the man to have been born blind for any sins of his own. Neither did God hold him responsible in punishment for any sins of his parents. When it says in this passage, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? I'm going to interject my own thoughts here. I think we're reading this wrong sometime, and there is an implied condition. I think the apostles are really asking, who sinned, this man that he became blind, or his parents that he was born blind? And I think that best explains that question. But going back to Elam's notes, so far as accountability and responsibility for moral guilt or sins are concerned, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Ezekiel 18:20. And yet children do suffer bodily affliction and other troubles as a consequence, well, not only of their own sin, but of their parents' sins, even unto the third and the fourth generation. Exodus 20:5. We're going to return to this Sunday school lesson in our next class period. You may want to mark it in your Bibles. That is John 9. And we're going to see how Jesus healed this man, and how that no one had heard of a man that was able to see that had been born blind. And the Pharisees, they just couldn't believe it.